Welcome to the Talk Birdie to Me podcast. This is Bird Dog Banner with Emily, and that's me. This is an informal but educational discussion on dog-related topics. We'll cover everything from waterfowl and upland hunting to training tips and even some controversial topics from a dog trainer's perspective. If you like what you hear, please be sure to subscribe and follow me on social media at Short Hairs and Shotguns and also at Horizon Retrievers. Welcome to the second episode of the Talk Birdie to Me podcast. Today I'm going to cover a quick introduction of myself and my dogs. That way, if you aren't familiar with me, you have a general idea of where I've been and what I've done and what my experience is. So when I talk about certain subjects, you have a better understanding of where I'm coming from. So I'm Emily. I grew up in Ohio. I was a horse girl from the second I was born. I started riding lessons when I was 3 and got my first horse when I was 6. Definitely the stereotypical horse girl growing up. If it didn't have anything to do with horses, I didn't care about it. That was my entire personality. I was also a big nerd, still am. Love to read, love to learn, love to study, particularly love science. So I went to the Ohio State University and my original major was molecular genetics. I think genetics are fascinating. I probably would have loved that career route. But while I was in college, I got an opportunity to manage a big horse farm. And I thought, okay, this is what I'm going to do with my life. And switch my major to animal sciences. The Ohio State University is a big agricultural school, and they had a fantastic animal science program. A lot of pre-vet med students, even though that's not the route I was taking. I really, really loved my college experience with animal sciences. But quickly realized before I even graduated, I was not going to manage a horse farm forever. That was not the life for me. So once I graduated with my animal science degree, I got a job at the Ohio Department of Agriculture in the chemistry lab as an analytical chemist, testing animal feeds and fertilizers for label compliance. So that certainly wasn't my ideal job, but I did enjoy the science aspect, and it had a somewhat animal spin to it, but not really. So I knew that wasn't my forever job either, but it was a really great experience. And after college, I quickly realized that if you don't like Ohio, you don't have to stay there. So Ohio doesn't have very many redeeming qualities, in my opinion, even though that's where I grew up and my family's there, which I appreciate. But other than that, Ohio doesn't have anything that I really appreciate. So I quickly moved to North Carolina, where the weather was better for my horses. So I moved my one horse with me and got a job at the University of North Carolina, UNC, a more biology type job. I was working in a mutant mouse repository, so I was managing a colony of mice and doing in vitro fertilization and sperm cryopreservation on these mice, which was fascinating. And I did particularly enjoy it, but it was very meticulous, very high stress, very high pressure. And after a couple years of that, I was very stressed out on a regular basis. Not to mention, you know, the job was 2 stories underground. I never saw the light of day, which was, you know, being a big outdoors person was super depressing to me. So I was at a point in my life where I could afford some flexibility in my career, so I thought I would get a temporary job doing something I loved, just as kind of a break from the stress of working in these science labs. And so I was looking into and interviewed for a couple horse jobs, just for fun, for a couple months, maybe a couple years, until I figured out what I was going to do with my life. Then I saw a job posting for a dog trainer with the company Off Leash Canine Training, which there's a franchise in the area I was working at or living in. And I decided, well, you know, that might be cool. I didn't have a whole lot of dog training experience, but I had a whole lot of horse training experience. My only experience with dogs at the time was I have a pit bull that I rescued as an adult who came with some baggage, namely leash reactivity. And I couldn't walk her, period. So while I was still in Ohio, shortly after I adopted her, I worked with a different franchise in order to e-collar condition her and to learn how to manage her, since all I really have ever worked with was horses. So that was my experience with dog training. I knew how to use an e-collar, and I worked with this pit bull that I have some, but not a whole lot of dog training experience. But upon the interview, I realized that it was a great group of people. Lots of them had horse experience over dog experience, and we definitely hit it off right away. And they spent a lot of time training me on dogs. So the majority of my initial dog training experience was from Off-Leash Canine, where I learned a lot about obedience and especially in particular pack socialization. Got a lot of really great knowledge as far as dog socialization goes. So I worked with them for a couple years and did exclusively pet obedience, board and trains, and lessons, and really enjoyed that, had a lot of fun, and a lot of my best friends still were made from working there. Once I got that job, I was, at the time, living on a small little hobby farm with my two horses and just Pinky, my pit bull, who, to put it lightly, isn't very fun. She's very boring and doesn't, not very active. I got a pit bull thinking that she was going to be fun and active, and jokes on me, she couldn't be lazier. And at the time when I got the job as a dog trainer, she had her first torn ACL. She now has blown both ACLs, or CCL if you want to be exact. So at the time I had this job as a dog trainer and a dog that was on crate rest and couldn't really do anything fun, and everyone was out doing all these fun things with all their dogs. And I was like, I've got to get a different dog who can do more fun things. So when I started working for Off Leash, I met my friend Ann Quigley. If you know her from The Discerning Dog, you should definitely give her a follow. She has a lot of great content. Ann was one of the first dog trainers I met that really inspired me to do really cool things with my dog. And she has a German short hair pointer, Olive. And if you know Obeen, you know she is the coolest. She is absolutely wonderful. And I saw Olive, and it reminded me of the short hairs my childhood friends had growing up. And even though I had no interest in hunting, I knew they were kind of batshit crazy and very high energy and loved to do all the things and did everything so high speed, intense, those kinds of things. And I thought, this is exactly what I want, which was the exact opposite of what my pit bull was. And I had always had this dream of having a horse farm and riding my horses, taking them on trail rides, and my dog trotting alongside next to me. That was like the ultimate dream. So I was like, I'm going to get a high energy farm dog that's going to do all these cool things with me. Be a demo dog for my dog training work and, be down to hang out outside and participate in everything with me. So I ended up looking for a German short hair pointer. Even though I had no intentions of hunting, I never hunted a single day in my life up until that point. But I loved Olive. I loved the short hairs I'd met, and I thought that's what I wanted. You know, they say the pendulum swings. So I went from this pit bull who doesn't ever get out of bed to wanting something that never goes to bed. And so I looked around, found a local breeder who was breeding hunting dogs. And even though I wasn't interested in hunting, they had all these titles, and I knew if you're getting all these titles in hunting, these dogs have to be high drive, active, really willing to do things together. And I thought, that's perfect. So Blitz was the last one in her litter. I wasn't sure quite what I wanted, but I realized very quickly that this breeder had a lot of experience, and I probably wasn't going to get a dog that was a dud or another dog like my pit bull. So shortly after I got the job as a dog trainer, I brought home Blitz as a little 8-week-old crazy puppy. And that's how I got into short hairs. I quickly learned that she was a lot more than I had bargained for. And I loved it. I loved every second of it. Her puppyhood was some of the best time of my life, just because she was really the only dog I was working with, and I had all this freedom from this new job, all this flexibility in my schedule. I was spending all day, every day with Blitz, and man, I really loved her puppyhood. Around when she was maybe 12 weeks or so, her breeder talked me into going to a NAVDA event, which is the North American Versatile Hunting Dog Association, to kind of see what it was about. And I remember he told me, he was like, "You don't seem like the person to half-ass anything. So if you get involved, I know you'll do a good job with it." And I kept thinking about that. Ooh, do I really want to get involved in this hunting stuff when I'd never held a gun in my life, had zero desire to? But I went to this NAVDA event, watched the natural ability, which is the puppy stage, puppy level of event, to see if I wanted to do it with her. And I ended up going and watching the utility level, which is the big dog level. And man, watching these big dogs work was like fascinating to me. And that everything changed from that moment. So the people there were super nice and gave her her first dead chucker. I have a photo of her carrying around this little chucker as a puppy at our first NAVDA event. And from then on out, I was pretty hooked. So I joined NAVDA, started going to training days. And clearly, you know, if you know Blitch, you know that she is just that she lives and breathes for birds. So seeing how much she loved it immediately made me fall in love with it. Even though I really had no desire to be this hunting person, how could I deny her of this thing that she loves so very much? So I got super involved with NAVDA, you know, absorbed as much training as I possibly could, and really wanted more than that. So I continued to work with other bird dog trainers and absorbed myself in that, or immersed myself in that world as much as I possibly could. Every chance I got, I was soaking up every little bit of bird dog knowledge I could, which eventually led me to working with Grayson at Lost Highway Kennels. I still do have all these friends in protection sports. And if you know anything about protection sports, they are fantastic trainers. Definitely the pinnacle of modern training comes from protection sports. And I noticed that a lot of the bird dog trainers at the time, things are changing, but were very old school in their ways. And I wanted this new age bird dog training. I wanted to find something that felt like what I was learning from all my protection sport trainers and bird dogs mixed together. And Grayson just was the perfect combo for that. He has a history of protection sports and detection dogs and is very, very open-minded in his approach. And I just knew that would be perfect for Blitz. She was a very high drive dog and had caught, captured, killed a lot of birds. And when it came to me progressing to steadiness, I got a lot of flack from a lot of people. I'll never make her steady. I've ruined her. She's too much, all these things. And Grayson was just absolutely fantastic in his approach and handling both of us and making sure both of us were having fun and not feeling defeated. So that's another podcast for another day, talking about my experience of working with Grayson. But needless to say, I continued to work with Grayson, went on to test Blitz in utility. She got a prize one, her first and only time that we ran in utility. Very proud of that. Very proud of her. Lots of blood, sweat, and tears went into that. But I quickly realized that wasn't the end-all be-all for me. I loved my experience with Blitz. I loved watching her do all the things she loved. But that wasn't where my heart was. And I wasn't sure where it was, but I was ready for something new. So that's how I got into labs. Grayson has this lab, Althea, who is unlike any other lab I've ever seen because she's British and not, you know, your stereotypical backyard, overweight, goofy pet lab. She couldn't be any more unlike those kinds of labs. And so I'd always hated on labs until I met Althea and I was like, wow, labs can be like this. So quickly summing up my experience with Ember, Grayson had a deposit on a litter for a detection dog prospect. And I told him, hey, I'd like to raise this lab for you as a detection dog to see if I want a lab. And he said, sounds great. So I went and met the litter when they were shortly after they were born. They were a local litter. And as I kept going back weekly to see these puppies, I knew right away. I mean, if you know Ember, how could you say no to that? As I met this little tiny red dog, I thought, there's no way I'm going to let this dog go to live in some kennel as a detection dog. So I reimbursed Grayson for the deposit and paid the rest and brought home my first lab in, let's see, that would be, she was born in January of 2021, so in March of 2021. And I really wanted her to be a fleshing dog for Blitz. So at this point in my life, I had zero waterfowl experience, zero, other than, you know, like duck search for NABDA for Blitz. Blitz loves ducks, well, hates duck, wants all the ducks to be dead, but is obsessed with ducks. But other than that, I had never waterfowl hunted. She doesn't sit still and she's vocal. So taking her in a duck blind was always out of the question. So I got Ember to be a fleshing dog for Blitz, who we really enjoy woodcock hunting. And if you've ever been woodcock hunting, you know, it's a lot of briars and super thick cover. And what I was running into was as Blitz was steadied, she'd go on point in a briar patch and I couldn't release her to flush the bird. I couldn't get her to move to flush the bird and I couldn't get to it. And we were often without Althea. If I went hunting without Grayson and Althea, we'd be stuck in this conundrum where Blitz would be on point and I didn't know what to do from there because I couldn't get to the bird. She wouldn't go get the bird. I couldn't get her to move. And so I thought, man, if I just had an Althea, we'd have a lot more success woodcock hunting. So I got Ember to be a fleshing dog in front of Blitz. And at some point, I started looking into retriever test as something new and fun to try. So I took Blitz to our first HRC event, which is the UKC's Hunting Retriever Club, when Ember was a puppy. So I had already had Ember. Blitz went and ran started and got her first two passes. She did great. And I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. And so I started when Ember was a little bit older, I'd say, you know, 5 or 6 months, started throwing some marks for her and experimenting with the retriever side of things, and eventually got pretty deep into that. So I switched from doing all this upland to only hunt tests for retrievers. So that's where we are currently this spring. Spring of 2024, Ember earned her Hunting Retriever Champion title, her Finnish title, which is the highest level of the UKC Retriever hunt test, other than the Grand, which would be like the Invitational if you're familiar with NABDA. I have no interest in going to the Grand, no interest in going to the Invitational. And throughout this, my career as a dog trainer has kind of followed my personal interests. So I worked for the obedience company for a couple years, and then when I started working for Grayson, I branched off and started my own business as a bird dog trainer, and started that as a companion-heavy bird dog trainer, which at the time, I really don't feel like anyone else was doing. So this concept of having a bird dog, an upland pointing dog that also lived in the house and was a family pet, wasn't something I saw many people doing or talking about, but I could see that there was a big need for it. If you ever go to a NABDA event, how many people there keep their dogs in kennels? Very few. They're most of those amateur owners are having these pets that they're also doing NABDA with. And I thought, man, there's a huge need for companion gun dogs. And Grayson was all about that too. And I loved that he was very flexible in his mindset of dogs can be pets and bird dogs. You don't have to pick one or the other, which is a lot of what I was getting the vibe from all these old school bird dog trainers. You can't have both. And you very much can. You just have to know how to go about it and be realistic in your expectations. So that's when I started my business of Short Hairs and Shotguns, which was at the time just my blog and my personal account. But I turned it into an LLC and started taking clients. That would be the winter of 2019 into the beginning of 2020 was when I started my own business. And that has worked out super well for me. And over time, I've kind of transitioned more into retrievers. So last year, 2023, I switched my business name from Short Hairs and Shotguns to Horizon Retrievers, an attempt to encompass more breeds, but I will forever be the short hair person, which is fine. I've got a lot of experience with them and understand them well, and I'm happy to help people with them. So I've gone through all these phases in life as being a horse person, and then being an obedience dog person, and then being an upland dog person, and then switching into waterfowl. And now my current obsession and focus is switching from the hunt test game to actual hunting. And so I've luckily, thankfully, gratefully had a lot of opportunities to do more waterfowl hunting, really for the first time these past couple years. Just got back from Canada recently, which I'd love to talk about on a different podcast, but my current obsession is now actual hunting instead of the hunt test world. So as far as my business goes, I would love for it to reflect that. So really, I'm fascinated by the versatility of the lab, especially these British labs, being able to do upland and waterfowl, but also be fantastic companions and dogs that are just up for anything, but very easy and enjoyable to work with, but still not sacrificing any drive or any of the great bird dog qualities that are so important as well. So I would love to have more people see the value of that. I understand the appeal of the short hair, but I think a lot of people like the idea of a short hair, but it's not the practical choice for them. And that's, again, another topic for a different podcast. But moving forward, if you've seen my Instagram, you've seen Amy and Jet. Amy has become a good friend of mine as we've worked together with her British lab, Jet. Jet came to me in the spring for bird and gun introduction, went back home to Pennsylvania with Amy, and we force-fetched her together via Patreon. Amy put in a ton of work and brought her back in the fall for me to finish her force-fetch and work on some steadiness. Then Amy took her to Canada recently and has been doing quite a bit of hunting on her own, and that's, to me, the ideal client, someone who has this versatile lab that they're willing to put in some work with and take hunting and do hunt tests with. You know, it's a reflection of all of the things I love about dogs, and I really have enjoyed working with Amy and helping her do all of the things that I love. So moving forward, I'd love to find more people like Amy who want to put the work in with their lab and do all of the things with it. So that's where my intention is to take my business. And on a personal front, I'm always interested in studying and researching health. So you'll hear a lot about that on this podcast. Human health, I'm very into avoiding seed oils and eliminating toxins. And I tend to eat all my food at home. I cook as much as possible. I love to cook and bake. I love to study health and nutrition, and there's a reflection of that with my dogs as well. Blitz has been on a raw diet since she came home at 8 weeks old. Ember eats raw as well. I'm very into nutrition, which I started being interested in college, taking animal science nutrition courses, and have never stopped learning about nutrition. And I hope to never stop learning about nutrition. I think it's fascinating for humans and dogs. So that'll be a big emphasis on this podcast, as well as, you know, fitness and conditioning, and in general, a holistic approach to dog health. And maybe we'll talk about some human health as well. We'll just have to see. But that's a little bit of background on me and my dogs. If you would like to learn more, you can always check me out on social media. Short Hairs and Shotguns is my more personal account. Horizon Retrievers is my business account. You'll find lots about my personal dogs there. If you have any questions, you can certainly send those to me. I'd be happy to answer those. And if you have any suggestions on podcast subjects based on what you heard today or in general, definitely reach out to me with those. This is new for me, and I'd love to know what everyone's particularly interested in. That would be fantastic to hit those topics that people want to hear. So I hope you have enjoyed this, and I look forward to getting into some real good topics, not just talking about myself. That's not my favorite topic, but I look forward to our next podcast and getting into some good dog training stuff. So thanks for listening. I appreciate it, and I will talk birdie to you soon.